The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. This is the time once a month when we get together with one of our local bishops, and we talk with them and with you about issues facing our church, our community, our families, and in this case, our world. We're very pleased to welcome back into our studio here at Cleveland Catholic Radio His Grace, Bishop Bogdan Danilo, the Eparch of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. Bishop, welcome back. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever, and it's joy to be with you once again.
It's been a little while since you've been with us, and every time we invite you back, something in our world and our community has changed. Sometimes for the good. Today, as we're recording this, there are many grave problems, and we'll continue with that in just a minute. But, Bishop, as we begin our talk here for the next hour, of course, we begin with a prayer.
Since we are entering in a time of Lent, maybe we should ask God to give us the gift of Spirit so we can be closer to Him and at the same time walk with Christ through the 40 days of Lent and especially week of His suffering, death on the cross, and resurrection for our salvation. So let us say a prayer, Heavenly King. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Advocate, Spirit of Truth, who are everywhere present and feel all things, Treasury of Blessing, Bestower of Life, come and dwell within us, cleanse us of all that defiles us, and a good one, save our souls. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And again, welcome to Table Talk here on The Rock. I'm Dick Russ, your host. Dan Dealey is our producer, and our guest is His Grace Bishop Bogdan Danilo. Bishop, we're recording this program at the very time in the first days of the Russian invasion of your homeland, Ukraine. You are the Eparch of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy with thousands and tens of thousands of people in many states in your care, many of them, most of them, connected somehow, either born in Ukraine, came here to the United States, or their children, grandchildren, and so on. This includes my own family, as of course you know, and we're members of your cathedral parish. At this time, you have just sat down with us, and you've been in touch with people in Ukraine, as our family has. What have you learned about something personal or close to you that you just learned about today?
We were, as you know, for last 8 years, already visibly or invisibly fighting with the Russian Federation, because that breakaway group of Donetsk and Luhansk, and especially taking over Crimea, which is part of Ukraine, was the first step of the Putin plan. What changed? We hope and pray that chalice, as Jesus will pray on the olive in the olive garden, can be taken away from us. But we know that this morning, at 4 o'clock, still at the darkness of night, at the same time as the United Nations Security Council, where the Russian Federation is a member, at the same time, the first shells were falling from the skies over the Ukraine. And I couldn't even go to sleep because some bishops and priests start writing or calling us and just letting us know to ask for more prayer, and especially both spiritual and also support of letting those who are in authority here in the United States to help them. Because it's a fight between David and Goliath, you know, and David is standing in his homeland. People of Ukraine are preserving the democratic principles of the nation that we live, United States. They want to have life, happiness, and pursue of joy, you know, the gifts that are given by Creator to all of us. And today, in that peaceful land, somebody is invading them and claiming that land as its own.
Yeah, we were talking with Bishop Bogdan Danilo, and our listeners, as you know, this is not a political program, but we have with us in the studio here in Cleveland a bishop of the Ukrainian Catholic Church who was born there and came to the United States and knows so many people, obviously, there. And his heart, like the hearts of many, are troubled. And I won't say the faith is shaken, but this is a time when the faith is tested. As you walked into the studio, you mentioned that there was a place that was very holy and special to you, in which now people have lost their lives in these first couple days of this invasion by the Russians of Ukraine.
You know, our communities, especially present communities, of course, the Ukrainian Catholics are for over 140 years already, both in Cleveland and in especially Pittsburgh area. But today we have still parishioners, that's generation of your parents, who lived through the last days of Second World War. They had to live under the German occupation, and then they were fleeing the Soviet army entering. And they were, for the last 70, 80 years, members of our communities here in Cleveland, in greater Cleveland area. And today, when they open morning news, they saw a repetition of the same thing what they went. And I believe, and I know because they talked to us, that they prayed that something like this would never happen. And today they are living once again. I had the liturgy less than a year in one of the places that today one of the shells killed six people already and wounded 12, right outside of the capital of Ukraine.
In the place where you celebrated the liturgy?
Yes.
Well, Bishop, you know, we pray and all pray that somehow God's hand is involved here, and that further disaster can be avoided. But again, this is not a political show, but one that will focus on what we can do, and that is to pray. The power of prayer should never be forgotten, Your Grace.
But there's also, as you know, Ukrainian saying, when there is a trouble, we tend to turn to God. We did this more than once in the history of United States, Catholic United States. 9/11 is still fresh in the memory of each and every one of us. Pandemic, which was upon us, was a time of prayer and asking God to take away from us that disaster. And today we are once again praying for Ukraine. And I believe that for so many generations, at that moment of trials and tribulation, we're turning to God, and God will be merciful as well to us today.
What we were going to talk about, and we will, we'll be with you for the next remainder of the next hour here on The Rock, is partly a proclamation by the bishops of the Ukrainian Catholic Church for us and for all the faithful around the world, which is called the Hope to Which the Lord Calls Us. This was promulgated after a synod, right, toward the end of 2021. And we're recording this program in late February of 2022. I think with today's events, with the current events, we would say in the midst of the challenges of the present world, and it's interesting that those are the words that are used here, how, Bishop, do we look for hope? How do we have hope? How do we maintain the hope when some things look hopeless around us?
Somehow the words of Soren Kierkegaard come to my mind, and that's the words that each of our grandfathers or grandmothers probably told us, but fortunately or unfortunately, Soren Kierkegaard was the one who put them in writing, that we understand life backwards. Each of us, young and old, when we look in a past, we can say and try to find out why something happened, but we don't know tomorrow or even this evening. But we Christians have a blessing, because home for us is not to be on this earth, but to return to the home that was prepared before the creation of the world, namely a heavenly Jerusalem. And we are blessed that just finished this year a Christmas season of coming of Emmanuel, God with us, and now slowly we are preparing to enter into Lent. And I believe if we Christians, especially Catholics, if we take our faith, our Lenten pilgrimage seriously, we'll be able to make sense and still believe that that hope, which is Christ, is the essence of our life.
We talked a little bit in the last few minutes about the physical warfare that has begun in Ukraine, in Eastern Europe. But your document here, The Hope to Which the Lord Calls Us, is talking about also spiritual warfare. And as you said, rejection of the world, understanding that this is not the world we are meant to be eternally in. Spiritual warfare is a big word, and it would appear that with evil forces and the good that comes with our Catholic and Christian beliefs, there is more than a tension. It you could almost say is a war, spiritual war.
And I believe that each of us had experience of this even recently during the COVID pandemic, because our life changed. We were on lockdown. We are uncertain even yet about tomorrow, or the public health officials are telling that perhaps in the fall, once again, another wave of COVID will come. And we know that if you are just a human being who cares for food and drink and enjoyment in life, well, all of this could be taken from you. So if you have a foundation of beliefs, you have something that you can hold to. And that's where the Christian faith, Catholic faith comes and gives us a hope. What we are especially starting in that pastoral program of our church, keep in mind, it's just 30 years since our church is independent in Ukraine. The fall of Soviet Union allowed us to once again have the renaissance of our church. Probably one thing what I should say, every time Russia, Soviet Union invaded Ukraine, the Ukrainian Catholic Church disappeared, be it in a one day, a year, and 10 years from the moment that they enter. That happened with our church underground in 1945-46, and today we have a number of martyrs who gave life for a Catholic faith in Ukraine less than 70 years ago. So the most important aspect that we are calling people is that vibrant parish, a place to encounter the living Christ. I hope that everyone who listens to us understands how important it is to be with the family, with your friends, and especially with your local parish community. We are missing that encounter of each other, an encounter in a parish community of Christ, especially on Sundays and holy days of obligation. So our program is calling once again to reinforce that vibrant parish, a place to encounter the living Christ, but go beyond. Go to the family level and individual, because Sunday is just one day. It's the Lord's Day. But we ought to be Christians Monday through Saturday and then come on Sunday and celebrate the joy of being part of the Catholic community. So I hope that that letter will allow us once again to rediscover this. And that think we can share with others, because I think what we as Catholics, especially younger generation, what we lost is the joy of sharing the good news with those who are around us.
We're talking with Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josephat in Parma. And Bishop, you talked about family, and I wanted to make mention in this program that since you have been on the program with us, you recently returned from Ukraine with the sad duty to bury your father, Mr. Miroslav Danilo. So we say to you, you have our sympathies. May his memory be eternal, Vichnaya Pamyat. Would you tell us a little bit about your father and your experience as a young man in the Catholic faith and your family?
As you know, in a sense, for our family, coming back to States was a return. My grandfather was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm now the bishop overseeing the church where he was baptized. So our history was always connected with that, in a sense, pilgrimage or refuge. He, as a young man, my grandfather John, with his older brother, came at the age of 5 or 6 back to Europe. My father was born. Then he was displaced internally when the borders of Ukraine were changing. And finally, after a number of years, we were able in the beginning of 1991 to come back to United States. He was not a man of great educational abilities, because at that time Ukrainian community was even not allowed to pursue the higher degrees. But he was a man who had strong principles based on a common sense, and he learned this from his father probably. And then faith was very important in his family. I do not recall a Sunday that we would all not go to the church. I could go and dance on Saturdays as long as I was for matins and morning prayers on Sunday. If I missed that, well, the next time the dance was canceled for me. So there was a simple principles, but those principles are today leading my life, my sister's life, and the moment that I lost him, I can just understand how important it was for him to teach us those things.
Yeah, to be the son, a priest, the son of a man must have helped give you good example in the faith in your early years so that you did not go far from it.
And fatherhood, you know, we are missing so much in our society today, examples of good fathers. I think we already spoke even on this show that the study are telling that if mother goes with the children to the church, 60% of those children as adults will attend a church services. But if the father is accompanying them, that number goes already to 90. How important is to have a image and good example of father. So I hope that our families will do whatever they can to stay together. There is not enough problems that cannot be solved. You know, my moral theology teacher who was preparing us to lead later on young couples in their journey as a married couple and as a family used to say, tell them always, let son not sit down when they are upset on each other. Let them say, I'm sorry in the evening and go to sleep at least at peace with each other. And this way they'll be able to create a better unit of the family.
You're listening to Table Talk here on Cleveland Catholic Radio, AM 1260, The Rock. I'm Dick Russ. Our producer's Dan Dealey, and our guest is Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josephat in Parma. We'll continue our discussion with His Grace when we come back after this very quick break. And welcome back to Table Talk here on The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Our guest, Bishop Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josephat in Parma. We've been talking with the bishop about a document produced by the Ukrainian Catholic bishops called The Hope to Which the Lord Calls Us, putting this hope into the context of our daily lives, of things that are happening in the world. And as we're taping this program in the last couple days of February, I know it'll be on in mid-March, this is the time in which the bishop's homeland of Ukraine has been invaded by the Russian army and air force. And so if there is some critical update to that, what we're going to do is drop it into this program at a later date, Bishop, and let people know so that you're aware when you're listening about the timing of the program. So this the document about hope, it also calls on you, bishops, yourselves, to be called to, quote, genuine pastoral conversion and follow the example of Jesus and St. Paul in every level of the fraternal community. Why are bishops called to a pastoral conversion?
If we in a church wish to lead somebody and ask them for that pastoral conversion, and we see this in a Catholic church, we are in the midst now of the eparchial or diocesan level of the synods. I deeply believe that Holy Father and we as a synod are following, wants that conversion. Gandhi, if I'm not mistaken, said, if you Christian would live what you preach, the entire world will be Christian. You know, we have such a great teaching, but we are short sometimes of fulfilling this in our lives. So we as a synod of our bishops decided throughout the world, starting with Ukraine and every place that Ukrainian communities are today living, to give example as bishop, priests, those who are clergy, of our own conversion. Taking away the egoism of our life, maybe pride. You know, the temples are beautiful, but often our churches are now half empty. So we have to look deeper in our hearts. What is the reason for that? And ask God for the strength to have that conversion. And if we are looking at example, the Almighty God, equal to Father, with the Holy Spirit, felt not being smaller, to empty himself and become a human being, suffer, die on a cross and raise from the dead. So if our Lord did this, each and every one of us can have a little bit of humility in this world. And I think leading through that example of humility will give a good example for those who wish to follow Christ.
It also mentions your document, other fraternal communities, the family. This example of conversion, the parish, the workplace, the school, wherever people are gathered and in some kind of community or fraternity. So this applies also to these units.
You know, for one reason or another, probably not necessary with a deep understanding, we somehow, especially in American society, understand separation church and state as two different realities. Well, we are one human being. We cannot be split. If you are Christian, if you are Catholic, your Sunday experience, your belief have to be example for others. As a church, we will celebrate the Sunday of Last Judgment when Christ will not ask us how often we pray. Did we pray morning, noon, and evening? But he will say, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Christ will judge us on our attitude to others. And how we can do this? We can do this, first of all, in our families, in our communities where we live, in our parishes. And if you look even at American society recently, that's what was most beautiful. We lived our Christian example in our daily lives. And there was no problem of different denominations. Somehow we can solve those smaller issues as long as we are willing to follow the teaching of Christ.
Yeah, this is true, Bishop. And those of us who are old enough to remember that in American society can recall it. It was truly a community. Of course, you had problems and so on, and different people who approached it at different levels, but it was different. I've had young people ask me today, very bright young people, is there really an American way of life? Well, you know, it certainly has changed, but there certainly was an American identity, and you're right. It did not split church from, say, state or from daily life. It was much more integrated at one time. It reminds me, 50 years ago, there was an old Star Trek episode, and they had one man, the actor, half of him was painted white on one side and half of him was painted black right down the middle, and he was never integrated. His personality was split, and whatever happened, I'm not quite sure, but we are all one. We're a unified human being, as you say, so there have to be ways to integrate, as you said, what we believe into the action of our daily life. Has to be a way to do that. And it's through our understanding of our faith.
And you know that, you know, the Christian beliefs, if they are even projected on society or members who are not necessarily believers in Christ, they still will understand that any Christians wishes well for co-brother, because we believe that icon of Christ is even in those who still didn't meet the Savior on a personal level.
You also mentioned in the document about hope, the need to heal a trauma and wounds. It particularly talks about things you have about the pandemic, how people have been wounded by this. And now we have invasion and war, healing of people's inner wound, spiritual wound, psychological wound, mental, even more so than physical, can be a very difficult thing. Many people are hurt inside, walking around. We see it in our society.
And we all know that when you come to the doctor, besides having a great technology, taking your blood pressure, checking your blood for all the abnormalities, the doctor asks you, you know, John, Bogdan, Peter, Mary, how are you feeling? Because if you are not ready to explain how you feel, the doctor cannot actually cure your illness or wounds or sickness. That's why our communities need to start speaking about this. It has to be that cathartic moment, you know, the metanoia. Just acknowledge them. We have them in the families. You know, sometimes uncle not speaking with brothers, not speaking with brothers, children not talking to parents, those who gave birth to somebody or were carrying arms for a number of months and then years, they have some reasons for not being with each other. But speaking about those wounds perhaps will give them opportunity to, on a deeper level, understand what is the problem. And we know that any trials and tribulations that we go through, if we go positively, makes us stronger. We'll be just a better family, better community, and a better society. And a lot of them, both in a larger society, even in our parish communities, often swipe aside, but they were never cured or healed.
Yeah, sweep under the rug, and then they just sit there and become worse all the time. You mentioned the gospel of the Last Judgment, and your recent sermon in church was about this gospel with a very direct, and you just mentioned it a few moments ago, and it's repeated in the document, the hope to which our Lord calls us, our attention to the poor and the marginalized. It will be very much how it is measured back to us. Is that right?
And I believe we see them on the streets of Cleveland. The Christ will come during the second and glorious coming as a king of universe, but today he's appearing among those less fortunate. That's why in a gospel parable about Samaritan, he is the one who stops. There are people passing by not willing to pay attention to the one who is wounded, but the Samaritan cures the wounds, takes him to an inn, and if you recall in that gospel story, even leaves the money and says, if you spend more on taking care of this man, I will repay you on my return. So Christ is asking us to open our eyes to those who are less fortunate, because if we as a society will be better off altogether, it will be just a better place.
And which leads us to one of the conclusions or one of the calls to action here, which is to go forth into the world. You had mentioned very early in our program here that we're called and we need to find that joy of sharing what we know. So how is it in a world that can be hostile to us or indifferent to such a message of the gospel and this hope and joy, how do we find the strength and the way to do this and to take this into the world?
I think we have to repeat what the 12 apostles who were with Christ, first community that gathered around them, did. Just preach the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Gather for the breaking of the bread. And in the Acts of Apostles, we know that the Acts tell us that community grew day by day. Recently, in one of the interviews about the new evangelization, Cardinal Taller was saying that, you know, people misunderstand this. They have that understanding what this evangelization means. It's a simple conversation about Christ. That conversation used to happen on the level of our families, and of course community was more monolithic and understood this. Today, maybe you have to remind other people. I still believe that the world is sometimes afraid of that challenge. You know, they know that Christ's teaching has meaning, but they're afraid maybe they will not be able to measure to that level, and sometimes it's easier not to think about this. But life is so short. Be it 70 or 80 years, as we read in the Psalms, but those of us who are a little bit older, they know that those 70 years pass like the winter snow of Cleveland and spring comes, and one day they will have to ask themselves, what I did in my life right? And neither the riches, buildings will not have a value, but perhaps children, grandchildren, or grand-grandchildren who are willing to call you, ask for advice, or just be with you will be the most important. And in all of that, our faith has a great foundation.
Bishop, I think we see people who really need to hear this. Many people these days, especially younger ones, with anxiety and addiction and all these things, they're looking for something. So it sounds like you're saying that in some way we can help to bring them this reality of this hope of Christ risen and all the hope that comes, the true hope that comes with it.
And the home is the church. You know, church is 2,000 years with us, you know. The generation of Galileo, Michelangelo, Einstein, and others, they knew about the church. So the church already knows a human heart perhaps better than we think. We had a practice of already 2,000 years. Did we fall short sometimes? Yes. But then we learn, hopefully, from that mistake. But there is already universal truth that we can proclaim. And as long as somebody is willing to listen, we can help that person to have a meaningful life in Christ and with Christ.
You're listening to Table Talk here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Our guest is His Grace Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. And we're going to continue our conversation with Bishop Danilo after we take another quick break. Welcome back to Table Talk here on The Rock. Our guest, Bishop Danilo. I'm Dick Russ. And we've been talking about one of the documents that the Ukrainian Catholic bishops put out, the hope to which the Lord calls us. As we're recording this program, we're recording it just a couple of days before Lent begins. It'll be on. We'll be about 3 weeks in the middle of Lent. So, Bishop, this is the time, you referenced it already, of our great fast, our preparation for Christ's passion and resurrection, and all of those things that make this, it could truly be a meaningful season for people, especially given with what's 2 years of a pandemic, an invasion in Ukraine, all these things going on. What can we do with our lives here in this remaining month, maybe more the month of Lent, to help us make the most of it?
First of all, we have to acknowledge that we need that period of time. You know, for probably a modern man, even, you know, fasting is part of cleansing your own body. Here, we as a church are proclaiming that truth already for a number of years, that fasting helps you to focus on more important thing besides your physical health, also your spiritual well-being. And in business of our lives, I think we have to slow down and realize what are the important things. And Lent allows us to do this through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving to those, as we mentioned, who are less fortunate than us. So I'm encouraging, first of all, our community to maybe reflect of what is really important in my life. What are the foundation of my daily activities? Is prayer important? Is faith in Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, not just generally as a Savior of universe or a Christ, the foundation of Catholic belief, but first of all, Christ as a Savior of my soul. He dies on that Good Friday for me, for my salvation. St. Paul often says it's not by my doing, but it's a grace of God that opens those gates of paradise. There's a beautiful stihira, which is a poetic verse from the first day of Lent, that Adam is sitting outside of the gates of paradise and he's crying. And that poem that we sing at the Matins repeats once again, crying and weeping. There is even an icon showing cry that Adam, you know, basically weeping. Why? Because he lost the presence of Christ. And we know that the entire history of salvation is basically leading that Adam, and that Adam today, it's me, you, and everyone who listens to this radio program, leading him back through Christ to that heavenly Jerusalem. That gate is once again open, and the seraphim angel is welcoming us as long as we are willing to follow Christ's teaching. And Lent is that great opportunity once again to remind ourselves what are the teachings of church, of Christ, and what it means to be a Christian.
Your eparchy is actually having a virtual Lenten retreat. The date is the 3rd of April, and information can be obtained on the St. Josaphat Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy website. It's virtual, but it's live. What's the role of people helping each other during Lent? You know, you can fast, and that's somewhat alone, you know, solitary, or your prayers, but somehow we should be together, right, in getting each other through this time.
You know, we were created as a community. God is in Trinity. It's a perfect community. Families are community. Those of you who are living in a family, you know how hard it will be to live alone. And even in a church, if you recall, most of the time, priests were not alone. There was 2-3 of them in a parish, so they can create that community of prayer and even a fraternity, just being with each other. And somebody wisely said, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go further, go with somebody. And 40 days of Lent, on one hand, is a short time, but if you count each minute, it is a long time. If you would like to fulfill those 40 days with meaning, well, find a friend, or maybe a few of them. Attend the church services. Read the Bible. Create a prayer corner in your home. Meditate and share then whatever Lectio Divina, that spiritual insight, tells you with somebody who is willing to walk with you those 40 days.
Bishop, I think we can say that you may not see it immediately, But things like prayer and fasting and almsgiving and being in community, they can have an effect on the world, right? And on our own community and even beyond, because somehow in his providence, God will hear and answer this prayer in his way.
And we know that the foundation of the American society, of the Western society, was on the Judeo-Christian principles. And for so many years, we are able to lead a man, not just spiritually, but even in prosperity, to a better life. And I still believe that church has an important role in a society. And hopefully, by church, I mean each and every one of us. We are a church, you know. We create that beautiful mosaic. If somebody is missing that one family from the parish, that picture is no longer a perfect picture.
Yeah, all of this applies to everyone, not just older folks and more mature people, but to young people. And you are focusing to some degree on younger people. For instance, you're having a lock-in retreat again. This is always something that is rather popular in your eparchy. I believe it's held in Youngstown.
Yes.
This year in late March. There are youth days in the summer in June. And what is the role of younger people, let's say from high school kids on up to young adults? What can they do on their own, by their own initiative, to do all these things we've been talking about for the last almost hour?
Somebody reminded me beautifully why youth loved and enjoyed John Paul II for those World Youth Day. Remember, some of them gathered millions of people. And there were three important elements. One, they were not alone. They were with their peers. And we talk about that walking together. And young people probably need this more than even people who are later on more mature in their life. Pope was willing to meet them, listen to their concerns, feelings, and their life, and he was always setting up a high bar, a calling for them. And I think young people like to achieve something. Look at sport. How much those young people whom we watched perhaps not long ago during the Winter Olympics, they spend days, months, and years training for a number of hours a day to achieve something. And I believe every young person likes to achieve something higher goal in their life. And of course, in a church, we are calling them constantly to reach for stars. And that star is heavenly glory.
Yeah, Bishop Danilo, we're blessed here in the Northeast Ohio area to have a number of Eastern Catholics. We have Ukrainian Catholics, the Ruthenian Byzantines, Romanian Catholics. We have Maronites and Melkites and so on. As we're in the period of Lent here in the year 2022, what are some things that from the practice and the tradition of the Eastern Catholic churches, specifically Ukrainian Catholic Church, that you might be able to share in Lent for people who would be maybe Roman Catholics or non-Catholic Christians that might enrich them or give them something different to think about, try, pray, practice during Lent that is, let's say, special to the Eastern Catholics?
Probably the entire Lenten journey is much different. You know, we, of course, Christians, Catholic, would say, well, attending daily Mass, daily Divine Liturgy is the essence of our life. It's so important in the East that during those 40 days, for 5 days of the week, Monday through Friday, we don't celebrate the Eucharist. We don't have the joy of gathering around the Eucharistic table. Not that it's not important. Some people would say it's probably more important. It's Lent. For that reason, we have that hunger just to show us what we miss, that presence of Eucharistic Christ, that 2 days of that week, Wednesday and Fridays, we have so-called pre-sanctified liturgy, which is mostly Vespers with the rite of the Holy Communion, to show us that it's a different time, to even physically give us that experience that liturgy is not celebrated, that we have to wait until Saturday and Sunday to have that greatness of celebration of the Divine Liturgy Mass as a community. So this is one. Then even prostrations, the metanoia. You know that we in the East, we often have the full prostrations all the way to the ground, and then we raise back. And is it our life journey between falls and knowing that it's not by my own strength, but with Christ, I'm able to stand up and face Him once again? And Lent is that time of trying through those hard moments, do those metanoia, that return to the Father's house.
So if you are not a member of an Eastern Catholic church or parish, you would be welcome to come and attend. Just look one up that's near you. And you mentioned usually Wednesdays and
Fridays,
the liturgy of the pre-sanctified gifts. And so that might be a gift that you could give yourself. And you had mentioned Pope John Paul II. He encouraged folks to breathe with both lungs. And here on the Rock, that due to the presence of yourself, Your Grace, and the other Eastern bishops here, along with our Roman Catholic bishops, we certainly are very privileged to breathe with both lungs. And it's a great opportunity to share these things with the general public and all of those who listen, because our church is, as they use the word, diverse, and it's varied across the world in terms of forms of worship and that sort of thing. So I think it would be worth a try. And if folks are interested, they could certainly go online and look it up near them, and they might find something new and different and experience this hunger for the Eucharist.
And always welcome. I remember there used to be a tradition that during the Christmas season, people would see the nativity sets in the different parishes, or perhaps on Good Friday to see how the grave is prepared. Well, maybe start during the Lent to come and see a different ways of living that Lenten experience. And I know that all of our Eastern Catholic churches would welcome them to pray and participate in those services with us. And as you know, if they come to Cathedral on Friday, after a moment of prayer, they can even have a fish fry with us in the Astrodome. So it could be doubled. There will be agape, even celebration of joy of life after the time of prayer.
In a new community.
Yes.
We're talking with His Grace Bishop Bogdan Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Eparchy of St. Josaphat in Parma. That's the big cathedral there on State Road, just north of Snow. You probably know the five golden domes well, and His Grace has, what is it, 12 states, 12, 13 states in your eparchy?
11 and a half, but 11? We will count it 12, because half of Pennsylvania, anything west of Harrisburg belongs also to St. Joseph.
We'll count it as 12, and so we're privileged to have him with us here on Table Talk. And as we are to have you, our listeners, we have just a few minutes left. We're going to take a quick break and then wrap things up with Bishop Danilo in just a couple of minutes. And welcome back to Table Talk. You are listening to AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Our program comes to you a couple times a month, and it is with one of our local bishops. With us today is Bishop Danilo of the Ukrainian Catholic Church, and we've been talking about in the last couple of minutes Lenten practices, because we're kind of in the middle of Lent when this program is on. And Bishop, you so correctly reminded us during the break that Lent is not the end of it. Lent is the beginning of the big story that we anticipate in our faith.
And you well know that for us in Byzantine churches, we even do not count the Holy Week as a part of Lent. That's why we start Lent a few days before, and we count it a little bit differently. There is always amazing me, even in my meditation, that on Good Friday, except a few women who follow Christ, and once again, a big shout to all the ladies who are listening to us. You are always standing by our Lord, and the role of mothers, sisters, and daughters in the church was always prominent. There is even a book written by Paul Yevdokimov, Woman and the Salvation of the World, talking, of course, about the Theotokos, the Mother of God. But what happens that those who are scared on Good Friday, on Easter morning, with the joy of seeing empty grave, they are running back to that community and proclaiming that Christ is risen. And the essence is personal encounter. There's that one scene, if you remember, in a garden that Mary Magdalene sees a figure and says, "Sir, where you took the body of our Lord?" And he just says to her one name, Marianne. And she says, "Ravi, the teacher." She recognized that there was Christ. And that happens later on with Peter, who comes. That happens with Thomas, if you remember, their personal encounter with Christ. And 11 in an upper room. And Christ, what he's doing, he's saying, "Peace be with you." How many times throughout the Byzantine Divine Liturgy, the priest turns to the congregation and says, "Peace be with all," or "Peace be with you." That peace we need today as a nation of Ukraine, that peace we need as a nation in the United States, divided sometimes on not very important essential things, you know. We all humankind. We are all belonging to the same family. We all care for the land that we were born or live today. We all care for our families. That perhaps that peace, we honestly have to ask Christ or believe that that peace can be with us. But then what Christ is doing at the moment of his ascension, if you remember, and once again, beautifully in the Acts of Apostles is depicted, that when he's going up into the clouds, the two men in white are peering, and of course in a Byzantine tradition, often angels are represented this way, and they are saying to the men of Galilee, saying, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing over here? Just go and tell the good news to others." And today, probably the listeners of this radio program, I could say to them, the men and women of greater Cleveland area, why are you sitting here or standing? Just go and tell the joy of risen Christ to anyone whom you encounter in life. And tell them that God loves them. Because people are thirsty to know that God loves them. They are hungry to know more about the faith. And they will not learn it from books. They need to learn it from our Christian example.
Which took us right back to where we started this program, discussing everyone's role in sharing the good news. And when the apostles went out, they were so full of the Holy Spirit and understanding that they took it even to the point of martyrdom, all but St. John the Evangelist. You're right. These few moments changed their lives and the trajectory of the world forever. And it started with the 11 and then became the 12. And look what has happened over 2,000 years.
Indeed. And it will happen until the Lord's coming. That's what God promised us. But we are still called to the heavenly Jerusalem, each and every one of us.
I think all of us can remember the time we were standing around, whether we were kids or adults, and someone came along and said, "What are you doing just standing there?" Like you said, you know what you're supposed to do. Go and do it. And Bishop, it may be as easy as that, because you just have to start to go, right? Just start.
You watch the small children when they start walking. You know, they just stand up at one moment and start dribbling. And then the practice makes them perfect. And that's the same with us. If we would share the joy that we have in our heart with others, the world will be a better place today and tomorrow.
Bishop, we're nearing the end of our program, and we thank you again for coming. You know, you're always welcome here. And particularly good to have you here at a time, unfortunate coincidence, that it's at a time when your native land of Ukraine was invaded. Have you heard anything, just in a quick minute, about the center of the Catholic Church, the Patriarchate in Kyiv, and the Catholic University in Lviv, the Ukrainian Catholic University? There's been not too much news about that.
As you know, first moments, because it happened, it started today. We woke up to that reality, which was a noon in Ukraine already. Few things I can say, at least I called the seminaries. As you know, I'm responsible for the formation of seminarians in the Ukrainian Catholic Church throughout the world, and we have five seminaries in Ukraine with still a large number of seminarians. We have over 700 seminarians, and you know, the sad thing, they cannot pray in newly built chapel, but they had to be in a basement and have the Divine Liturgy, being afraid that something may fall on from sky and destroy the building that they are praying. The seminary in Lviv number of seminarians are going home because their location is not far from the factory. And of course, as we know, in a time of war, often factories and those places are being, you know, destroyed. So out of cautious, the rector allowed, with the blessing of the local bishops, for them to basically move back to the families and be with the parents. I don't know how the education will be happening. We are in the first hours of this event, and I honestly pray that perhaps as that war started in the middle of night, that perhaps in a day it could end, you know, and let's go back to talk, to discussion, to trying to build a better tomorrow by just exchanging our views. You know, nobody wishes harm to anyone.
Let's conclude our radio program. Would you lead us in the prayer?
Let us say a prayer for Ukraine, prayer for United States, and especially prayer for people of goodwill who are willing, through example, lead us. Let us pray. Lord God of power and God of our salvation, O God who alone works a wonder, look down with mercy and compassion on your humble servants and our love for mankind. Harden and have mercy on us and the land of Ukraine. For beholding enemy have once more gathered together in order to cause division. But you, all who know all things, understand that we have risen and standing with you. You show us your help. Therefore, we who are sinful and unworthy pray to you in repentance and with tears call, help us, O God, our Savior, and deliver us and our beloved land of Ukraine for the sake of the glory of your name, that the enemy may not say their God has forsaken them and there is none to deliver them. But in every nation, understand that you are our God and we are your people, always present. May God bless us and bless us from above, and especially bless with the omophorion of protection, the land of Ukraine. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Bishop Bogdan Danilo, thank you again for coming into our studios here at The Rock and to be with us on Table Talk. Our thanks also to our producer, Dan Dealey. I'm your host, Dick Russ. Our thanks most of all to you for listening to AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.